Happy Friday, everybody. On the eve of Detroit Lions training camp opening with the rookies reporting tomorrow, we got a baseball team that just keeps winning. We got sagas. We got sagas going on all around the place. Heather? And we got Heather back in studio.
Oh, what'd you forget?
She left her mic. She left her muff. Had to get her muff. You don't want to leave your muff in studio all weekend.
Don't want to do that. Oh, come on.
How are you this morning?
I'm much better after last night's game. I mean, when the way it finished up.
Sure.
Felt a lot better. I, twice last night, during that game, I yelled out an expletive, like the movie Team America. It was F, yeah.
Oh,
yeah. Loudly. Like the dog stood up like, what?
Yeah.
Like that's what happens when James Outman hits a three-run homer. That's what happens when Dylan Dingler gets the job done.
Yeah, well.
It was loud.
It was an exciting, exciting, exciting game. We'll have a ton of Tiger stuff mixed in throughout the program. Who am I kidding? It probably will make up a bulk of the program. But we decided to throw a little change up.
Oh.
Yep. One thing that hasn't changed at all in Detroit is excitement and enthusiasm about our Lions. And, you know, most years when you don't have one of the biggest stories in baseball going on in your town, most years, this could be a 4-hour football show because, I mean, tomorrow the rookies are here. So I want to just start with a little bit of discussion about the rookie class because there is no question that there is a lot riding on the first pick of this rookie class. Is, you know, did they get it right? Did they invest in the right tackle, the correct tackle? I shouldn't say right. Distinguish between right and left.
They did invest one. They drafted one.
Yeah. Is Blake Miller the right pick? And can Blake Miller, I mean, it's not like tomorrow he's going to show up and everybody's going to go, oh, sweet, he's awesome. Or, oh, crap, he sucks. But the test begins tomorrow. And it's a massive, massive test, dude. Like, this is... We know how much this team leans on its offense. We know how much that the offensive line took a hit last year with the late retirement of Frank Ragnow, and then they tried to patchwork something together. They've addressed it with a big resource, but is this guy going to be more on the scale? Like, the best part of the scale that we've seen in recent memory is Penei Sewell. That's not a realistic expectation. The worst part of the scale is probably, like, what, Riley Reiff in terms of a high draft pick at the tackle spot. I mean, there are other examples,
but Aaron Gibson probably comes to mind.
Well, the recent is what I've
that's true. Yeah. I guess we are going back 28 years.
Yeah.
if you want to talk about this century, that's fine, Doug. I'll play along.
Yeah.
No, Riley Reiff is a good comp.
Good example.
And Riley Reiff wasn't awful, but he wasn't top 10.
No, I remember with the first year being disappointed that he was like their sixth offensive lineman. They'd bring him in when they go jumbo package, and that was it. And I'm like, I don't think you invest a first round pick in a guy if this is the role he's going to play. But anyway, long story short, there's a lot riding on Blake Miller. And tomorrow is a big day for Blake Miller as he reports for the first time. And hopefully we get good early returns.
Do you think there's still butterflies going with a guy like that?
Yes,
because he's
absolutely
been through mini camps and he's been with the whole team at mini camp and whatnot and OTAs. And now here it is. And I mean, it's just a day with rookies. It's not like the veterans are here yet.
Yeah, I think there probably are butterflies. I think it's hard to be first time through everything. You got to be nervous. I mean, whom? I shouldn't say, of course, because real athletes are wired way differently than I am. I would not only have butterflies, I would be terrified.
Would you vomit?
There's no question.
Oh.
I used to vomit the night before soccer games.
Really?
Oh, yeah, dude. I was a keeper, okay? And I had, I will give you the scouting report on me as a goalie in soccer. I had physical skills. I was not tough up here. Mentally, I was.
You were
diminutive. This might not surprise people, but I felt pressure. And I really felt pressure after I gave up a goal. I think I was at my best until I gave up that first goal, and then I could bring out my worst. But anyway, long story short.
You're like Bryson DeChambeau. You could have won the British Open if you
I would
just didn't get
penalized. I'm going to ask you a favor.
Yeah.
That you never compare me to that douche canoe again. Can I ask you that favor? We've been doing this show for a long time. Can I just ask you that favor? Is anything wrong with that?
No, that's fine.
Am I asking too much?
You're not at all. I mean, we used to just say canoe, but you want to give the full address.
Anyway.
Fair enough, my bad.
So would I be nervous? Yes. Is Blake Miller? Maybe not. Athletes are wired differently. But you know what's crazy about it? And again, rookies reporting tomorrow. I think the second most important rookie is the fifth round rookie, Keith Abney, the corner out of Arizona State.
I think... I don't know if it's the most, but I understand what you're saying. Yeah. And listen, I have high expectations for Keith Abney, and maybe it's unfair to have that for a fifth round pick, but it's a position where this team needs to catch a break on a corner. They need to catch a break on a corner, right? The safeties, they hit on their safeties, man. Unfortunately, they didn't catch a break with the health of either of them right now. But the corners, it's been a minute since we've had Darius Slay, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's tough. It'd be nice to see somebody just show up at camp, turn heads, be the talk of the town, and let's, you know, FG.
I know what you're saying.
I tried to tell you, I almost let it fly there. See, you're bringing out the worst of me.
Sorry. Yeah, I mean, that kid is supposed to be a baller. And, you know, if he can... another important player in the rookie class. When a team has questions, every new player that you bring in house is supposed to be a candidate to answer said question. And it feels like in Abney, I hope it's not wishful thinking, but it felt like the scouting report on this kid was pretty good. That, you know, he's got the physical tools. He's got some dog in him. He's not a big guy. He's 5'9" and...
And 100 nothing.
145 pounds. No, he's 5'9", 187 pounds. And is like, but hey, there's an expectation for him and another one that could show out. So could be very, very interesting. And it all starts tomorrow. But here's the thing we want to ask the people, okay? Because when when tickets for training camp became available, the rush to get them has lost no momentum whatsoever. This is a team that finished in last place and missed the playoffs last year. And this is an organization that has dialed back any extraneous hype. Like they're trying to send the message that, and they are sending a message that they're changing the way they're doing things. And it's straight business, Their schedule release. What did they do, Kang? They had Dan Campbell just like look at it and pin it up on a wall.
Yeah, very. I mean, this was like social media team go home. We don't need you, right? And they just didn't, no frills. This is back to work, back to business, back to the grind, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
What's next? They're going to show them walking into camp with lunch boxes?
Probably, if they show them at all. But it hasn't in any way, that stuff hasn't diminished the fans' excitement for this team. And so I guess our question to you is, at 2485-399-9797, why are you fired up? Why are you excited? What fires you up the most about this Lions season? A little change up here. Open the show with some Lions talk. We will get to what Scoobel said last night. You will hear it today at 10:30. As he talked a little bit about this trade deadline, his thoughts, measures the Tigers' chances to win a World Series against other teams, and... really good back and forth with Wojo about his elbow was sore in January comments. Hear all that today at 10:30, but we're starting with Lions. What fires you up most about this team? What are you excited about? Because people still want the tickets. They still want to be at training camp. 248-539-9797. It is Carson Anderson here on 97.1. Doug Carr, Scott Anderson, 97.1, Scoobel's comments at 10:30 as he followed up the my elbow was hurt in January. He followed up meeting with the media last night and saw clarification, and you could hear it. I'd be intrigued to see if the damage control was if people interpreted it as successful. In the meantime, we're talking some Lions as they report for training camp tomorrow. 248-539-9797. It doesn't feel like enthusiasm for this team and their chances has waned at all, even though they finished in fourth last year, even though they missed the playoffs, and even though there still is an undercurrent of cynicism in Detroit about the Lions, and there probably will be until they're raising Lombardi's trophy overhead and there's a parade down Woodward, which is understandable. These things die slow, painful, like long, these can be long, slow deaths to try and get rid of a narrative. But I think even the most ardent fan is scared, always in the back of their mind, that the Lions are going to let them down. But with that said, this has been a different incarnation of the Lions. And this year they're doing things differently. No question. There's little in-house hype. They've told the social media people that you take the month off for like the last 4 months. Not really, but you know what I'm saying. They're not hyping things up as much as they have.
There are other things too. Like there's no joint practices. It's kind of a big deal over the last few years. Enjoyed those. Not going to do those anymore.
Yep.
So that's kind of a no-nonsense approach. We're not showing anybody anything.
Yeah.
I don't know. Does it feel or does it seem like there's fewer practices open to the public this year?
It feels
too?
Like it. Yeah. It does feel like it. But people still wanted those tickets, and boy, we heard about it when they were snatched up quickly. But what excites you most about this team? I do want to bring up one thing because we talked about important rookies. And I want to remind people that our guy Kang had his finger on the pulse of the draft of who they were going to take. And then he also went off the board with another rookie to pay attention to. And Kang, just reminded people, the undrafted free agent that you love?
Yeah, he's an undrafted free agent, so the odds are against them. But I wouldn't be completely shocked if linebacker from Oregon State, small school, Eric Hunter made the team because he's kind of exactly what, the thing is, he came from a smaller conference, smaller school, but he looks the part, fills the part. Like, as far as he's got size, athleticism, played all 12 games, led the entire conference in tackles. He and his teammate from the year before was also an undrafted player, made the Minnesota Vikings roster in 2025. So there is some history with them being able to develop maybe these type of undrafted players that are NFL caliber, though, right? And mm-hmm. I feel like there's always these stories throughout, every training camp with every team. But I think Eric Hunter is a guy to look to. Obviously, the Lions let go of Alex Anzalone. They really believe in Jack Campbell, your boy, Doug.
Mm-hmm.
But Derek Barnes is the other linebacker. Maybe, on the other side of his career, you have Malcolm Rodriguez, who's coming off an injury. I think there's a possible spot for him, especially if you can play special teams. Of course, we all know that's how you make the team, mostly as an undrafted guy. But I think that's a guy to look out for. And so with rookies reporting, that's kind of I'm going to be keeping an eye on.
248-539-9797. Let's go to Darren in Sterling Heights here on 97.1. Hello, Darren.
Hey, good morning, guys.
What's up?
I think flying under the radar is kind of cool. But yeah. The key to me is guard to guard, right? Mahogany, Mays, and Ratledge. What can they do there? Obviously, our game plan is going to have to be blow people off the field because I'm still real skeptical about that defense, as I'm sure everybody else is. But the schedule is favorable and certainly a chance to get back into the dance, So once that happens, anything can happen, right?
Darren, you've touched on something that's incredibly important, that they got it right with Cade Mays, that their guards, their young guards that they've invested in, and there are some options, but they're Mahogany and Ratledge in particular, likely to get the first crack at it, that those two, that the arrow's still pointing up and the learning curve is still steep and they're still climbing that learning curve. And it's, it's an astute observation because this team, one thing that they like to do and have been able to do is run the football. They have one of the most dynamic backs in the NFL. And, it's been said a million times about the importance of protecting Jared Goff. So it doesn't need to be said again. But, yeah, really, really big thing that those young players develop. Of course, the veterans don't report till the middle of the next week, I believe. But the rookies report tomorrow.
Yeah, I think the expectation that the center position alone should be better is fair. I think it should be better. And, no offense to the guy last year, because he was good, but not mm-hmm. not great. It was good enough, I guess, to be a starter in the league. But he was playing out of position. He was a guard, not necessarily a center, and you know, kind of on his last legs in the pros. Well, now they got a guy who is a center. That's his primary position. Mm-hmm. He's young enough here, and apparently has a little snarl when it comes to the run game. So I like that. And the idea of this team being able to run the ball more effectively is quite appealing. We'll see what it's like with Pacheco instead of Montgomery, but you know, at least it seems like up front they've got the right horses up front this year.
Feedback coming in from D in West Ottawa. Fired up to see Laporta back. He is a weapon. The offense is more complete when he is in there.
Well, they missed him desperately last year.
No question.
Pointed out yesterday, he only played 9 games for the team last year. And when you go back and look at a 9-8 record, you know, Laporta makes a big difference. And when you're without that top tight end who they lean on a lot, that's not making your offense all that efficient. When you go back to some games at the end of the season that they lost when they didn't have him playing, and it's like, yeah, I get it. That's not good. They need to have him.
And you know, he's like Goff's security blanket, and he's a playmaker. And that was huge news earlier this week when he got full clearance.
Yeah. Tight end is every quarterback's best friend. It should be.
Yeah.
You know, the short intermediate routes and he gets open and he catches the ball. He's a complete tight end.
Mark in Grand Rapids sent us the following text. I'm excited to have a competent offensive coordinator that lets Dan Campbell do what he does best, be the head coach.
That'd be great, but I don't know. I know nothing about, you know, Petzing in this situation here because he was in Arizona. It's not like Arizona had a great offense. They were limited for sure of what they could do, and he worked with what he had, but it's a different set of circumstances here with the Lions. It's a much better team to work with. I don't know what to expect out of this offense or what we're going to see. Hopefully it's at least as good as it was last year, but even better would be the real expectation on it because they changed coordinators for a reason.
What fired me up last year was the loss to Minnesota to a fifth-string quarterback with zero effort. Most embarrassing loss of my life. Can't wait to see how they let me down this year. Signed, SOL in Allen Park.
Oh, sorry, Saul.
Yeah. Do you guys think the closer we get to training camp and Taylor Decker's still a free agent that he could come back as a depth guy for us? Sam in Grand Rapids.
I don't think so. I think that ship sailed. I think that he was hurt that the Lions didn't offer him more to come back or that they were ready to move on from him. And the fact that he hasn't signed with anybody else at this point maybe just points to the fact he is going to retire. But if I were Taylor Decker and if I really wanted to play again, I'd stay in shape and wait and see what happens injury-wise with other teams around the league because he could be a coveted guy once injuries start to hit.
Here's my description of how I would handle Taylor Decker in the here and the now. I would not delete his number from my phone. And if for two reasons. One is if either Blake Miller or Larry Borum can't get the job done at tackle, give him a call and talk about, hey, we need you. Let's go win a Super Bowl together. And two is if anybody gets hurt. So, yeah, I don't have him on speed dial, but I keep his number. I don't delete his number from my phone.
Fair enough.
Yep. 248-539-9797. What excites you most about this Lions team? Which it all starts to get interesting tomorrow when the rookies report and veterans come in next Tuesday. Please tell me if this Lions team is any better than the team that finished dead last in the division last year. It's from an unnamed texter.
Well, the offensive line is better. They're starting with a healthy Sam Laporta, mm-hmm. which should help as well. I think the offense is better. Defensively, I can't tell you that they're better defensively. I can tell you that I would expect some guys to be better. I expect Hutchinson and Ali McNeil to be better now that they're another full year away from the injuries that, you know, really hurt them severely. And specifically with Ali McNeil, he just wasn't himself last year. And now it seems like he is completely healed up from everything and in a full go. That's good. I expect other guys to step up too. Young players should improve from year one to year two. Like Tyleek Williams should be better from year one to year two. He was okay last year, but take that step. Secondary, I have no idea. And that's the big question mark, and that's a major concern now because the safeties are excellent safeties when they're healthy, but they're not healthy.
And you didn't mention Laporta there being
back. I did with
Yeah, you did earlier. Okay. But anyway, so that and your record is measured against the relative competition that you play. The schedule looks far more navigable than last year's.
And beware the schedule game, but yes,
I know,
but
we're leery of that, but it does. And additionally, the difference between first and last place is two games. Okay? The Bears won the division with 11 wins. The Lions finished with 9. Do I think that this Lions team, with the schedule and getting some guys back here and the improvements you mentioned, is two games better than a year ago? Yeah, I do.
I do, too.
Yeah, at least. Matt in Detroit, you're next. Hello, Matt.
Hey, what's up? So what I'm most excited about is seeing the, you know, how the whole line has improved, because I feel like that was a problem. And, you know, we got some good pieces. We got the shark hunter, Ratledge with the mullet out there fishing for sharks. I want to see how tough he is on the O-line. And then I texted, I don't know if you guys read it. So someone was on Facebook selling their Lions training camp tickets. I didn't buy it, because I'm not stupid, but people are scalping them.
I guess we shouldn't be surprised. You know, that there's certainly a market for Lions training camp tickets. I mean, it's a magnanimous gesture by the organization to do something for free for the fans. Is it a shock that people are going to turn around and try and profit off that? No, it's not a shock. More text. You tell us what is there to be fired up about the Lions coming off of last year's last place finish. Our defense is a mess and our offensive line is a mess. Vegas has us at 10.5 wins with our offensive line being what it is. I don't see our running backs having a better year than a year ago.
Well, I would disagree with that. I think they have a better center. I think that they're better suited with Penei Sewell at left tackle because he's healthy and Decker wasn't always healthy last year. They hardly practiced last year, and you're getting Sewell, who's an upgrade anyway. You get a year under their belt of experience from both guards who were effectively rookies last year, and you'll probably start a rookie at right tackle. That's a question mark. But they do have some depth there, and we'll see if Blake Miller starts the year as the starting center or not, or starting a right tackle or not. But I think the offensive line is better.
248-539-9797. Let's go to David on a cell. Hello, David.
Hey, fellas. Hey, I think a couple things. They weren't as bad as the record was last year. I mean, last 2 years, smoke and mirrors with all the injuries they've had. Mm-hmm. Also, but on the other end, you know, you talk about I think the offensive line is better, but doesn't the offensive line, like, the hardest position to gel over? I mean, it's going to take a good quarter of the season that offensive line's used to playing together.
It might, yep. There's no guarantees with that. I like the makeup of the personnel better than last year's, but yes. But that's the challenge.
They haven't worked together.
No, you hope that the talent alone makes them as good as they were at the end of last year, and as the year goes on, they get better and better because there is gelling that is an important part of a line play. All right, straight ahead, Tarek Skubal addressed the controversy yesterday. Hear what he had to say next on Carson Anderson on 97.1. Doug Harsh, Scott Anderson, 97.1. Look, we've had a big story the last couple of days in what is an ongoing saga in Detroit, and that is Tarek Skubal. And Skubal made the comments to Cody Stavenhagen in a story that ran in The Athletic about his injury and how he felt something wrong with his elbow back in January. As we read those comments on paper, you can read them and get upset, and people did get upset. Because I felt like he hid the injury from the Tigers so he'd win his arbitration case and didn't get it taken care of in the offseason. He did use the word subconsciously. He wondered if subconsciously it was because of the arbitration case, which is why. But he didn't say, I made this decision. He said, I wonder if subconsciously I was worried about the arbitration case. He spoke yesterday and clarified his position. And we'll get to what he had to say here in a minute. But There was a lot there, and let's get into it now with what Tarek Skubal, stud pitcher here in Detroit, back-to-back Cy Young Award winner and biggest name at the trade deadline available. He talked about, to further expand on, why he prefers to stay here and do big things. Okay, now some people love this. Other people say, that's fine. Why don't you sign here?
Right.
But he's got an agent that does an unbelievable job at maximizing your potential earnings at almost the cost of everything else. Like, the Limerick stuff doesn't go over well with me. I think that perhaps there's been some advice that he's given Tarek Skubal that has not been good in terms of PR. But I don't think that's what Boris is singularly focused in. But you know, he said the right things there.
Yeah, mostly said the right things. If he really wanted to endear himself to the fans, he would say, I want to spend the rest of my career here in Detroit. Now, if we can make that happen in the offseason, that'd be great. I would love nothing more. We need to see if we can open up those communications and if we can get somewhere on the same page. But we all know it's going to be difficult. But yeah, he said a lot of the really good things. When you talk about motivated to win for this city and the team that drafted you and the team that developed you, those are things that make you say, oh, wait a minute. Is it possible he actually does want to be here? It'd be great if he wants to stay here past this season. And I think he would like to, but money's going to talk.
Okay, it was brought up, Tim. Sure, you think you have a chance to win here, but wouldn't you have a better chance to win somewhere else when you look at some of the teams that might trade for you? Okay, he's says he believes it. I use this term all the time on the air. How good is your good? Like, when you are on firing on all cylinders, do I think that team can win a World Series? Yes. The problem is their bad is horrific. Yeah. Like, they have proven already that their bad is horrific, and the only way this team really makes noise and makes a deep postseason run is if they just happen to be playing their best baseball when the postseason starts, provided they even make it.
Look, their horrific was in a month where they had a lot of guys that were hurt. We have seen flashes of the horrific since the team has gotten healthier, but it's just flashes. By and large, this team is playing really good baseball since June 1st, and they were just above 500 in the month of April as well. So, how bad is the bad? It is bad, but it comes with guys not being able to play. Right now, knocking on wood, this team has a lot of guys that can play and other guys that are getting healthier and returning to this team, not only to the pitching staff, but to the everyday lineup. Looks like Javi Baez is going to come back soon as well, so that's going to help things out and calm things down in center field. But people, when you hear a comment that once you get in, anything can happen, it's true. It mm-hmm. really is. Now, do the Tigers have... If they get into the playoffs, are their odds as good as, say, the Dodgers? No. Because the thing is, the Dodgers play a really good brand of baseball more often than anybody else in baseball. The Tigers are capable of playing that way, but for stretches of time like that, probably not.
Okay. We wanted to bring you the entire exchange when the whole topic came up about his elbow pain in January. So this is going to include Wojo's question and then like two more follow-ups so you can hear the whole thing in context when the comments, which has certainly irritated some fans here in Detroit, and understandably so. I think they're authentic and genuine, the feelings that fans have, when he had a chance to address it again, here's how the exchange went with Wojo yesterday. So there it is. AE, the whole time, says he thought he was going to be fine physically.
And I'll be honest with you. I can understand that. We've all gone through things in our life where something hurts and you're like, all right, do I need to go to the doctor for this? Let me see how it goes over the next couple of days. And then it clears up or it feels better. And you're like, oh, maybe I don't have to, right? Should it be a little bit different when it's your livelihood? You know, like if I had something severely wrong with my throat, if I felt something was off, I talk for a living. Would I immediately go see a doctor or am I still going to wait a couple of days? And the answer is I'm probably still going to wait a couple of days. I can understand where he was at back in January. If he felt some discomfort, he's like, I haven't felt anything like this before. Let me see where it is before I really get freaked out about this to go see the doctor. And apparently it was trending in the right way, as he said. And then things changed when he had the incident in Atlanta in April. So I am a little bit more willing to give him some grace at this point than maybe a couple days ago when we first heard the comments or first saw the comments.
Okay, a final thing here. Are there any hard feelings between you and the organization? This was interesting. Here's what he said. I can't help but wonder when I hear that, and this is we talk about making the most money and Boris doesn't care about anything else. I'm not sure that if I were an agent, I'd want the player there during an arbitration hearing. Why is he even there? Because this is classic negotiation. Management and the team's going to downplay him, and the agent's going to overplay him. And so if you've ever sat in on a negotiation, there's a reason why agents do this for you. So you are far removed from and hearing any of this. And I'd really be intrigued to see if agents typically take their player with them.
Look, it's great to think that all negotiations can go swimmingly and smoothly and that no feelings are hurt and that you present your case and management listens to it open-minded and they come, you know what, you make an excellent case. We're willing to give you this money. It's not how things work. It's really not how things work, and it's unfortunate that you're right, that Scuba was there in the room to begin with. But I think when it comes down to arbitration, maybe that is the norm. I don't know. I haven't been in an arbitration situation like that. I have been in negotiations before. Mm-hmm. And yeah, that can get salty. And you might want to advise somebody to just listen to your agent in that and take yourself out of the equation altogether. And when he says his relationship with the coaches and the players hasn't changed, I have no doubt that that hasn't changed. At least the guys you play with, he's the coach you play for. But when you get to experience the other side of it, the business side of it, and it leaves a bad taste in your mouth, well, like it sort of sounds like it did.
Sounds like it kind of did.
I don't have a warm, fuzzy feeling about him being able to consider coming back to the Tigers in the offseason like I did 3.5 minutes ago when we heard the other cuts, right? Because now it's specifically talking about the business side, and it didn't sound like it went well for him. He didn't like it, despite the fact that he won.
All right, Scoobal has spoken. I don't know if this helps it anyway, makes it better, makes it worse, but he gave more clarification on his side of the story. As we approach the trade deadline, 248-539-9797, Carson Anderson, 97.1. I set the table with a couple things here. One is, what excites you most about this Detroit Lions season? Rookies report tomorrow. Veterans in on Tuesday. We'll start to get some Lions content over the next few weeks leading into preseason football. Feels like the team, as far as excitement in the community, they haven't slowed down. But what is, for you, what excites you the most about this Lions team? Also, you've heard Scoobal speak now, kind of defending his position and what he meant. And he tried to clear it up and basically said he thinks it was blown out of proportion. He's doing the hindsight thing now. Like, yeah, I wish I would. If I'd known, I thought I was going to trend in the right direction. I thought I was going to be okay. In hindsight, I guess I wish I would have done it back in January because, I as it turned out, I had a setback and it wasn't okay. 248-539-9797. Let's talk to the people. Bill in Grand Rapids, John 97.1. Hello, Bill.
Hi, how you guys doing today?
Good. All right, Bill.
So I'd like to think one of the most logical options for a Tariq Scoobal trade would probably be the Philadelphia Phillies. They're trying to chase back down the Atlanta Braves to win that division. And I think we can take Andrew Painter from them, which, granted, his stats are horrible. But we could probably throw him in the bullpen and develop him because he's a young kid. And then maybe Justin Crawford. And he's a center fielder. He's a switch hitting center fielder. You know, he's probably hitting better than Outman. Outman can. And, you know, it's another young kid we can try to develop to at least keep the Tigers on track for, you know, not a full rebuild, to develop some young kids to trade for a 29, almost 30-year-old Tariq Scoobal, who we won't be signing next year.
I always hesitate. First of all, I think, yes, if Dave Dombrowski is a GM of a team and they're in contention, and the Phillies are a unique team in that they're getting older and they've kind of are running out of shots. A window is maybe starting to close, so they might decide to give this thing gas and go one more time. Philly is a possibility. I don't think of them as the favorite. I also find it hard to believe that players that they are using at the major league level, that they will want to give them up. And if they're using these guys, are they really going to move them? And specifically in the case of Crawford, are they going to move Crawford to create another hole?
Both of them, because Painter was the number one prospect last year for that organization. Crawford was number three. So you're talking about two of their top three prospects from a year ago, and they're not top three prospects anymore because they have matriculated to the major leagues. Mm-hmm. So, And then you'd be looking at probably another prospect from their system, and you're going to want a top guy. So I don't know if Philadelphia would want to give up all that for a rental.
Has Painter been sent back down? I got to double check this. I thought that. Let me because if they're not using him, and he did have a,
he's at AAA right now.
Okay, I mean I still don't know that they would give up on Crawford, but they might get Painter. Painter was terrible this year for them.
Yeah, he's been terrible. He was terrible last year for him, actually. The year before, he was great. But last year and this year, not so much.
Yeah, I would guess that it would be, if it's Philly, could it be Painter and prospects? Yes. I don't think of Philly as a favorite to get him. There are some favorites emerging, and in my estimation, it's the Brewers and the Dodgers. I think those are the two teams, based upon reporting and just kind of a hunch here, Scott.
A hunch. We like hunches.
If Skubal is going to get shipped out, I think the Brewers and the Dodgers are two teams that are most motivated, one for obvious reasons, another maybe not so much because the Brewers haven't made a big buy since 2008, and they've been very consistent in going to the postseason, but they're looking for more this year, and that they might go out of their typical pattern as a small market team and add a player like this, in which case the Tigers might have to pick up a bunch of Skubal salary. But they also, both those organizations, are loaded with the type of bats the Tigers would want.
They are, absolutely. Philadelphia is interesting because Dave Dombrowski just doesn't care. If you got an F them picks kind of guy in baseball where you don't have picks that you can do that with, but you have prospects that you use with those picks that you can do that with, I could see Dombrowski going over the top to make something happen where, okay, he realizes he's up against the Dodgers and against the Brewers and or Tampa. All three have great systems. And he's like, all right, fine. And then he comes in with an offer. He's like, wow, that just happened. He's capable of doing that. We've seen him do that with Detroit.
Yeah.
So I'd be curious if it gets to this point, does Philadelphia really want to throw their hat in the ring for a rental? That's the biggest problem with this is it's a rental.
Feedback here regarding the Lions. Tony in a car says the Lions 11-6. Book it. Unnamed texter. I know we all think the defense is going to be an issue, and I do too, but it's kind of weird to say that when you think they have a top five defensive end, a top two or three linebacker, and I know it's a big if, but if their safeties get healthy, they have two of the best safeties in the league. And DJ Reed is not a terrible corner in a bad year, but I think he might have been hurt. And DJ Reed is not a terrible corner who had a bad year, but I think he might have been hurt. But you have three levels of elite players on defense, and we're all expecting to be atrocious. That's kind of weird.
I wouldn't use the word atrocious at all. I think the big concerns are about the secondary because you're going in with different corners and you're going in with safeties that aren't healthy to start the season. We don't know if Kirby Joseph's going to start or not. Brian Branch isn't. That we know. Mm-hmm. But Kirby Joseph might. And it seems like it's a pain threshold thing with him with this chronic injury he's going to have to deal with. But if he can play, obviously he's a difference maker. And they do have some other guys there. I was telling Doug off the air. Roger McCreary is a guy that we don't talk about.
Nope.
And he's brought in to be the nickelback. And is he going to be as good or better than Amik Robertson? And it's possible he could be better, which would be great. And then, you know, the corners have to settle that out. The defensive line actually could be a lot better, which would be interesting. You know, we've talked before about other teams adding more adults in the room, like specifically the Red Wings when they went and got some veteran players at the time that made sense.
Mm-hmm.
Adding DJ Wonnum as a defensive end, it may not be flashy, but has it settled things down at the other defensive end where it's a guy that can get out there and play on most downs, be good against the run, provide a little bit of a pass rush as well? In the meantime, you're bringing in specific pass rushers off the bench in a rotation. And if you're expecting McNeil to be better and Tyleik Williams to be better and Aiden Hutchinson to be better, the whole thing is better. But they got to stay healthy.
Unnamed texter, I think LaPorta makes another leap this year. Drew Petzing utilized McBride at a massive clip in Arizona and would expect the same with LaPorta. 13-win season incoming.
I wouldn't expect the same thing with LaPorta because he had nothing else to work with in Arizona.
Yeah.
They had to use the tight end specifically there because you weren't running the ball. And you had no receivers, so you did what you did. This is a different team, which maybe you exploit LaPorta more. He should. I mean, look, he wasn't healthy last year, only caught 40 passes and played 9 games. So is he going to have more production this year? If he stays healthy, he's going to double that production.
From an unnamed texter, this will be Tesla's coming out party this year. I don't think it's the worst take ever.
No. Size, speed, the ability to catch the football. There's a lot to like with Isaac Tesla.
Okay. I just got two texts from two different agents about the Skubal interaction with the Tigers during arbitration. Very interesting perspectives. We will get to that today at 11:02 here on Carson Anderson. Open lines, 248-539-9797, 97.1.